This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Welcome once again to the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. I am your host, Reverend Dr. Jack Cook, and I am indeed honored to be in your presence again. We want to thank you for logging in, for clicking in, clicking on, hallelujah. And we pray this will indeed prove to be, hallelujah, edifying unto you and fruitful, hallelujah, unto you and your walk with the Lord. And I pray indeed that he be glorified in it. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we pray. Hallelujah. Let's just go before the Lord today and continue in our study in the Gospel of St. John. We left off last time around the sixth chapter, around the 30th verse, I believe. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today and thank you for this day that you have made. Father, we rejoice and are glad in it. And we pray indeed you be glorified, Lord God, right now, Lord God, as we go forth in this word, as we look, hallelujah, unto you, Lord God. We pray indeed that you will just, by your most Holy Spirit, teach, hallelujah, your word unto us, minister your word unto us, to unfold the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Lord God. Ah, we thank you indeed for this day and this time, this age that we live, such a wonderful age that we live. In spite of all the circumstances in the world, Lord God, we are blessed to be at such a time as this, a time of your grace and your goodness, Lord God, where you pour out your goodness and your mercy among all men, hallelujah, that souls may be saved, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, and we pray now, Lord God, indeed, that you go forth, Lord God, hallelujah, in this time. Let it be precious in your sight, Lord, we pray it will cause your face to smile upon us, and that you will meet us in this time, we pray. Oh, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray and thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. Yes, as we continue in our study and our observations here concerning this wonderful, powerful, beautiful gospel of St. John, in which we are in our outline that we discussed, looking at toward the manifestation here, hallelujah, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, hallelujah, as we observe God among men, yes, and God dwelling among men and God interacting with man. This in itself is miraculous. This amazes me. This is, the more I search this out, into the more I'm blessed to be led by the Lord, and the more that the Holy Spirit reveals unto me the truths and the mysteries and the revelations that just come forth in this time of this great word of God here. It is amazing to me the very thought of God among us, hallelujah, and even more astonishing is God, is man's reaction to our Lord amongst them. It just speaks to the depravity of the heart of man, that here is God amongst us, here is God among man, and we see as a result through man's unbelief, his scoffing and his ridicule and scorn, and even his eventual murder of the Prince of Life, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So in our text, why don't we just pick up here at let's just go back to verse 27. I believe that's where along the area we left off for a review. You recall the scene here, or the state here, that Jesus had just performed. Jesus had just fed the multitude, had just fed over 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And the Lord, after that point, after they gathered up the fragments, and the Lord departed and went up into a mountain himself, and then sent his disciples on to the other side toward Capernaum. We find ourselves here at the next day, after they had found the Lord on the other side of the sea, in verse 25. And they say unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou here? And Jesus immediately began to turn them from things earthly toward things heavenly. Look, and I like to observe as we go forth how patient and how tender and how loving and compassionately that our Lord began to minister these heavenly truths, as he said unto Nicodemus back in chapter 3, these heavenly things, these heavenly truths unto the crowd here that had followed him to this point. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Yeah. He said, you came to me simply because of earthly issues. And so he immediately begins to turn them toward heavenly issues. And says, labor not for the food which perisheth, but for that meat, that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Hallelujah. Then say they unto him, what shall we do? Isn't that just like man? It just seems we always just have to feel like we got to be the ones to do something. That we got to, if we don't do it, what we have to do. You know, God really doesn't need our help. Hallelujah. God really does not need our help to do anything. But yet God has chosen, hallelujah, from Genesis until this day, to use man to bless man, to be privileged that in this earth, on this earth, and in this age especially, to do what he does primarily through man. Now, God always reserved the right to stand in himself and to do for himself that which he may choose to do. We must remember God, our Lord, has a free will as well. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, again, here is our Lord and our God among men. Hallelujah. Working the works of God among men. And so man wants to know, what do I do? What do we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, well, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And so it's like they say, is that all? And, you know, that is a problem that man have had through the ages. You know, this, because believing requires faith. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing is more than just an intellectual assent. I believe in Santa Claus, or I believe in the tooth fairy, yada, yada, yada. But it is literally hoping in, clinging to, trusting in, believing in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, you know, they just to move on, they say, well, give us a sign. And then they wanted to rehearse their history, their pedigree, you know, in the Lord's hearing. And the Lord immediately began to minister to her. Just, again, observe how gentle and how loving and patiently our Lord just began to minister this heavenly thing to him, because he's about to get into something, hallelujah, that, as they said later on here in our study, is a hard saying, hallelujah. And then they said unto him, verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto, I am, hallelujah, the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. And so obviously, as in retrospect, as we are blessed to have the vantage point of being able to look back on this, we know and understand easily today by faith that he is speaking truly of things eternal and not of things temporal. Because obviously sometime tomorrow or the next day or 20 days, 30 or 40 days down the road, sooner or later, we're going to get hungry again. Amen. And we're going to be ready to eat something again. Hallelujah. To fill these bellies. Hallelujah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. We were made in that state. Amen. So it's obvious that the Lord is taking him and trying to minister unto them concerning things eternal. Amen. But yet the Lord is very keen on their heart. Oh, hey, you know, as God told, hallelujah, Samuel, that man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks in the heart of man. And so Jesus is looking into their heart, and he says unto them in verse 36, but I say unto you that you also have seen me. You see this thing, y'all? They literally see, I mean, they're beholding God, hallelujah, face to face. They're beholding him. And he said unto I say unto you that you also have seen me, hallelujah, and believe not. Yeah. And then he moves on to a comforting and powerful truth. Oh, that we hang our faith on. We hang our salvation on. Hallelujah. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, that's good news. In this age of grace, hallelujah, this dispensation, this age of grace in which we are blessed to behold and to live in, God has said that whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what, that is predestination in the nutshell. That sums up the doctrine of predestination in my book in a nutshell. That God have determined, hallelujah, had concluded, as Paul said in Romans, that all were under sin. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore God concluded that all were under sin. Hallelujah. In the due time, in the right time, God sent his son. Hallelujah. While we were yet his enemies, God sent his son. Hallelujah. That whosoever will believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the promise is that you will be saved. Hallelujah. Saved from the wrath that is to come. Hallelujah. From the wrath of God, hallelujah, among the children of disobedience, and say to eternal life with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, yeah, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Hallelujah. But should raise it up again at the last day. Yeah. Now I want you to put a pin in this phrase here, at the last day. I want you to observe how many times we hear our Lord say this in the next few verses. And I believe we talked about this matter of the first resurrection and the second resurrection, amen, that the Bible refers to in the Revelation as the second death. Yeah, man. And then verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread that come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I am come down from heaven? And isn't that something, how man just seems to always want to bring us down to his level? Man seems to always, all these isms and schisms, the essence of racism and sexism and all these other culturalism and nationalism and all these other isms, is that you stay in your place and we'll stay in ours, and we'll always remind you of your place. Amen. Somebody always wants to have their foot on somebody else's neck. And there's something about man. It's like that crab in a bucket syndrome. Always wants to bring God and everything else and everybody else down to their level, hallelujah, of understanding. And that's what religion does, y'all. Religion wants to bring God, is man wanting to bring God down to his level. Amen. Down to his understanding, down to his agenda, down to his program, down to his culture, or down to his nationality, or down to his agenda, or sex, or whatever. Hallelujah. But God refuses to be put in a box. Hallelujah. God says, I'm no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Why can't you be no respecter of persons? But we just don't function that way. Yeah, and Jesus there. But look at the love of the Lord and the patience of the Lord with this crowd. How that he does not rail at them. He doesn't rebuke them. He just turns again, and in love and in gentleness seeks to turn their heart toward this powerful truth. Amen. For this is truly a pivotal point in our Lord's public ministry. Here is that the Lord is a beginning. He's not speaking in parables, if you notice. He's not speaking. He's speaking direct to these folks, telling them, unfolding before them these great manifest truths of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and specifically concerning himself and his relation with our heavenly Father. And so Jesus says in John 6 and 43, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up. Here we go. At the last day. That's three times, y'all, in these past five verses, if you will, that we hear this matter of being raised up at the last day. Hallelujah. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, except he who is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am. Listen at this, y'all. Listen. I am. Does that sound familiar? I am. Hallelujah. That I am. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, the Jews, therefore, they really went off now, y'all. They about to pull their hair out. Strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They just cannot grasp, hallelujah, these heavenly truths. Why? Because they are seeing them by sight. They are not exercising faith. These are things of faith, you all. Hallelujah. And if you are having a hard time with these sayings, with what the Lord is saying here, and with that which we are purposing to bring before you today, pray and ask the Father. Ask him for the faith to open your eyes that you may see, that you may know and understand that which is eternal, that which is heavenly, hallelujah, that which pertains to life eternal, that you may know and understand, hallelujah, concerning these heavenly things, because these are matters of faith and not of sight. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is frustrating these folks. These folks are being frustrated more and more and more. And that's how it goes with the natural carnal man. Hallelujah. He cannot perceive heavenly things, nor does he want to. Amen. He is, according to, as Paul said over in the book of Romans, here's the state of man. Hallelujah. Paul, the Apostle Paul, explains it powerfully in Romans, I believe the 8th chapter. He says in Romans 8 and 5, he says, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are the spirit, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. If you would refer to the text that we are refer to the segment that we did concerning knowing your enemy and pull up and just refer you to the segment we done. There are 3-part segment we did in knowing your enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and pull up the segment on knowing your enemy, the flesh. And we expounded upon that in great detail in that segment. And now it may prove to be fruitful and beneficial for your hearing. Amen. And your knowing and understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Then said, back to our text in John 6 chapter. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He is just, I mean, the Lord is just really breaking it down. And although he is, this sounds on the surface to be rather gross, quite frankly, and to be in the natural, surely it would be a hard sin, because if you didn't know any better, you would think he's talking about cannibalism or something. But indeed, he is talking about matters of the spirit, and he is referring to. And the Jews should understand this, especially in the temple worship with the sacrifices, hallelujah, that were manifest in the law of Moses, hallelujah. For all of that was a type of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so this is the reference that our Lord is giving concerning this matter of the flesh and of the blood and of the bread and of these things. Amen. And so in verse 57, he said, as the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Hallelujah. And the good news is that we can feast on him. Hallelujah. Day by day. Amen. For this is that bread, verse 58, which came down from heaven. Not as your father did eat manna. Hallelujah. And are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is talking about eternal life. He is talking about. This is in similitude. This is. Hallelujah. The beautiful picture of this is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our Lord is literally the tree of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. These things said he in the synagogue. He's in the church, y'all, as he taught in Capernaum. Hallelujah. And many, therefore, verse 60, John 6 and 60, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Now, these are his disciples, y'all. These are church folk. These are his folk. Amen. Those that have turned to him and are following. These are followers of Christ who are followers of Christ. And then and they therefore heard this and said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so when Jesus knew in himself, hallelujah, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. But there are some of you that believeth not. Hallelujah. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Isn't that something? And who should betray him? Yeah. Yeah, he knew. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, you know, the Lord has our 10-20. The Lord has our number. He knows exactly. He knows our heart. Oh, Lord God. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Ah, thank you, Jesus. And then we arrive at John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6, 66. From that, what a sad point. Hallelujah. A sad point in the testimonial. Hallelujah. Interestingly enough, 666. Amen. A terrible, horrendous testimony that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, have mercy, Jesus. And then said Jesus unto the 12. He turned unto the 12 and said, will you go also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Hallelujah. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Ah, Peter, I like you, man. You have got it. Thy Lord does have the words of eternal life, and they are life. Hallelujah. And we believe and are sure, yeah, that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want to take care of a little business here, and then we're going to have to depart out a little early today. Something has come up here that I need to tend to. Right away, we pray that y'all will continue to pray for us.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you.